Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing to celebrate. This is our last day this week, just celebrating the reality of what God has done for us in Christ. The truth that the apostles bring us, the proclamation, the core, the gold and the treasure, the precious gifts we've been given in Christ. That, friends, when we pay attention to what they're saying to us, when we get help from the Holy Spirit because we're seeking it. Remember what Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst, you will be filled. Who is it that comes into sanctity? You know, we're all called to be saints. We've been listening to what the saints, what the apostles taught us about what Christ did in them and what he's done for us. And the promises of the Lord are pretty clear. Jesus said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you hunger for me, I will fill you. If you're thirsty, I will quench your thirst. I mean, the big question for us is, are we hungry for God? Do we want God? Or just do we want the whole God? Do we want the whole calling? Because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Often the temptation, friends, is to compartmentalize our life and to compartmentalize God. I got this little God piece of my life over there. I get to church most Sundays. Got to make sure kids get confirmed, baptized. Got to get the confession at least once a year. And God's somehow in the picture, but he's on the periphery. He's on the margins. And as a result, when that happens, we mostly live a life of moral striving. And we think about faith as mostly our work, like we've got this stuff we got to do. And deep down, we'd rather not do it because we haven't developed a taste for God and the things of God. We're living in a more legalistic, moralistic framework. We haven't really surrendered our lives to Christ and come deeply into him and understand with amazing gratitude about what we've been given. And we don't even know what we don't know. We don't know the treasures that we've been given, and we're mostly ignorant of Christ. Like St. Jerome said, you know, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And the reality is, you know, most baptized Catholics know very little about the Word of God, very little about the kind of things we've been reading through this week. So I'd encourage you, if you don't have a chance to tune into the program, friends, go back and just listen to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday's programs, because we just took simple truths from the Bible, the actual words of the apostles, and just broke them open. What does this mean? How do we access this in our life? Wow, this is God's plan for my life? And the reality of what happens in human beings who really go for it, who hunger and thirst for God and seek him and listen to him and feed on him and continue to stoke that hunger for God and receive the fire of God's love that he wants to pour out on us. And so we did this yesterday with St. Peter. You know, each of the apostles talk a little bit about baptism. It began the week with Paul's line from Galatians, what really counts, what really matters. And that's what really matters for us and will be the most important thing between now and when Christ comes again. What matters, he says, is not my position in life, my accomplishments, whether they're religious or not, you know, the trophies I've accumulated, the name I've made for myself, the neighborhood I live in, the size of my bank account, the size of my social footprint, my fame in this world. Paul says, the only thing that counts ultimately is the new creation. Because everything in this world is going to pass away, but something, behold, something new has come. What's come is what's alive in Jesus Christ, the beginning of a new humanity, existence beyond death, swallowing up death in victory, sharing in the eternal glory that belongs to God, becoming part of the family of God, our destiny. And friends, we have one of two destinies in store for us in the future. We can put it off, we can stave it off, thinking about it, not wanting to get serious about religion, don't want to have our weekend ruined in any way, shape, or form. We want to cling to this world, but this world is the form of this world, Jesus says, passing away. So if you cling to the form of this world, that is, you're formed by the world, and you sound like the world, you walk like the world, you talk like the world, you believe what the world is believing, you'll share the destiny of this world. which is going to pass away, into judgment. Jesus said this world has already been judged by him on the cross. The things this world values have been judged. The things that this world exalts in place of God or before God have been judged. And the judgment is they will be eternally separated from God and God's plan. So you've got either that destiny or the destiny that the apostles are singing about to us in these amazing passages, what God has given to us. Let's read St. Peter quick here so that we can end this week with, again, another apostolic exhortation about what God has done for us in the meaning it has for all who believe. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Peter's heart is singing and he's proclaiming it to us. How did we get access to this? What are we getting access to? Jesus Christ, his existence beyond death. Jesus Christ is the new creation. He is hope for us. Christ in you is the hope of glory that you share in his destiny. What is his destiny? Existence beyond life, a new creation. It came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and it's God's mercy. You know, we get united to this reality in baptism. We've been talking about it all week, and there's this wonderful little part of the catechism. I mean, there's a whole section, of course, in the catechism talking about baptism and its meaning. But paragraph 1216 caught my eye the other day, and I want to read it to you. And you just see some of the fathers of the church here and what they taught, you know, in the first few centuries of the church and how absolutely thrilled and excited and passionate they were about baptism. It says, 1216, it says, "This bath is called enlightenment because those who receive this instruction are enlightened in their understanding. Having received baptism in the Word, that is Christ himself, the true light that enlightens every man, the person baptized has been enlightened and becomes a son of light, a daughter of light. Indeed, he becomes light himself. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world." And that, what is that light? Remember the beginning of John's gospel? It says, John wrote, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it." Jesus is the light. What does it mean? He said the light is the life that's in him. What's the life? The eternal life of God is in Jesus. Indestructible life. Death could not stop him. Death could not hold him down. There's a life that will never end. It's the indestructible, eternal life of God united to human flesh in Jesus. And that's what we've been given. That's the great treasure that's in you, friend. That's why you have hope for tomorrow and forever, if you internalize it. And then Gregory of Nazianzus summarizes it this way. It's so beautiful. He said, "Baptism is God's most beautiful and magnificent gift. We call it a gift, grace, anointing, enlightenment, garment of immortality, bath of rebirth, seal, and most precious gift. It is called gift because it is conferred on those who bring nothing of their own." Isn't that wonderful? It's a gift. I can't raise myself to new life. This is why AI can't do this. Big money can't do this. Human education can't do this. What we need, as Paul said, is a new creation. We need the new life of God, period. So here's Gregory saying, first we call it a gift because we don't have this on our own. We need it from someone else, and God gives it to us. He says, "Grace, we call it grace, since it is given even to the guilty." Even to the guilty. God's grace has come to us. And as the apostles said, we were dead in our sins. Paul says we were enemies of God. We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, Paul said, destined to ultimate judgment because of sin and sin's work in us. And so baptism is a grace given to the guilty. That's me. Baptism, we call it baptism because sin is buried in the water. We die with Christ in baptism, Paul tells us. The cross of Christ is applied to our lives. So it's called baptism because sin is buried in the water. Our sin is dealt with there. It is called anointing, for it is priestly and royal, as are those who are anointed. So like the priests and kings of the Old Testament were anointed with oil, set apart, right, for God. They were marked by God. In baptism, we're anointed, we're marked. Priests, prophets, kings, we're sharing in the royal existence of Jesus Christ. We're sharing in his priestly existence and his prophetic call to make known the good news of God. It's called enlightenment because it radiates light. It's called clothing since it veils our shame. It's called bath because it washes us. It's called seal as it is our guard and the sign of God's lordship. We are purchased, we're marked, and we live under and in the lordship of Jesus Christ. He's our king. Book of Revelation has like 35 or 40 titles of Jesus in it. He's a king. He's not only priest, prophet, king, but he's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's the bridegroom. He's the king, and he's the judge. It's baptism that brings us into relationship with Jesus. Friends, Jesus is the good news. The Catholic Church is about him. It's about being baptized into him and these realities. Catholicism is not just, you know, like a social organization that's concerned about morality or something. It's not mainly about law. It's about the new law. It's about the Spirit of God that's in us. It's not our achievement, right? I'm not checking the boxes of my life. I'm accomplishing all these things. Look at how well I'm saving myself here. No, it's what St. Gregory says here, all these beautiful things about what baptism confers on us. And I love this one. We call it grace, since it is given even to the guilty. And boy, what is given to us. And this is exactly what Peter is talking about. By his great mercy, we are born again to a living hope and to an inheritance. Hope and inheritance. To an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It's kept in heaven for you. The inheritance is being united to everything Jesus Christ, our King, is and what he possesses. What Christ has made, the new creation, friends, it is totally imperishable. It's never going to be defiled, and it's never going to fade. It's God. It's God's way. It's God himself. This has been guarded for us. He says, who by God's power are guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When Jesus comes, all those who loved him are going to be magnified, are going to be glorified with him. Jesus is going to celebrate all those who loved him and believed in him and radically went after him. And those who didn't, those who sought after the glory that was in this world, will be condemned and separated and judged. And what will be shown, and they'll beat their chests in agony because they'll know that they chose it themselves. And Jesus will give them what they chose. Verse 6, Peter says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, can be tested by fire. Lord, for the trials, we thank you for the trials of our life. And he said, without having seen him, you love him, and you're filled with unutterable and exalted joy. Lord, may this truth be in each one of us today. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.